My name is Robert.
I'm Katie.
I'm Val.
And I'm Jamie. And we cash as Jamie N, Marcello 1 and Tank Boy 5. And you're listening to GeoTalk.
Welcome to this special episode, episode 93 of GeoTalk, as we go travelling around the South Island of New Zealand. Well, kia ora and welcome to GeoTalk, special edition of the podcast coming to you from New Zealand as we head to the first NZ Mega event. I'm your host, Darren from the Spin Doctors, and I'll be travelling solo over the next couple of days. Unfortunately, the rest of the family couldn't come along to the event, but we'll hope to bring you some of the highlights, both as I travel down to Dunedin, attend the mega event, catch up with some New Zealand locals and of course some Aussies and other overseas people who have come to the event, and bring you a bit of a taste of what it was like at the first mega event in New Zealand. Along the way, we're going to stop into Timaru overnight on day one and catch up with a regular contributor to the podcast, the organist, Martin, who won't be going straight to the mega event. He has to go to a hospital tomorrow to see the birth of twins. Obviously, he's very excited about that, and we'll catch up with him a little bit later. And we're also going to catch up also with Alan, who's our regular contributor each podcast. We hear from Radio Nut 50. And also catch up with maybe hopefully some of the Groundspeak lackeys who are attending this event. Along the way, we're going to pick up a couple of caches down to Dunedin. I've decided to focus on not only the oldest caches, but also there seem to be quite a few earth caches that are in the South Island, particularly around Dunedin. We'll see if we can pick up a few of those. But the first one we're heading to is actually a webcam cache, which is at the University of Canterbury. So hopefully we won't have too much trouble with that one. Strap yourself in, enjoy the ride, and I hope you enjoy this special edition of GeoTalk at New Zealand's first mega event. Well, on day one, I've made it to Timaru, and I've bumped into a regular caller and writer to the podcast, Martin, also known as the organist. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Darren.
It's good to meet you finally, too.
Yeah, at last. So, and in my hometown. So,
that's right. Well, in about 30 seconds, give us a quick little bite about what Timaru. Where is it, and basically how big, and what goes on here?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a town of about 30,000. It sits pretty much halfway between Christchurch and Dunedin. It's really a service town to a farming community around the outside, so that's where it started. It's got a main container wharf and does a whole lot of shipping, certainly did a lot for Fonterra until Fonterra's moved up to Christchurch since. A neat wee town for kids because you've got the sea a kilometre away and the ski field's about 40k's away, so...
So something for winter and for summer.
Absolutely. You know, you can, if you're into that, you can be skiing in the morning and sunbathing on the beach in the afternoon.
Now, how do you go geocaching? What's the geocaching scene like in Timaru?
There's a few active users, probably a smaller number than there used to be. I'm sort of probably the one who's been doing it for one of the longest times. There's a large number of them. Unfortunately, I've got them all, and I sort of have to rely on Bitsprayer from Oamaru or Ernie NZ, who's used to be from Oamaru, to come up and actually place some for me. So,
right. Yeah. Now, I was going to ask you what's a must-do cache here, but you've already dragged me here to it. Heavy metal, fantastic cache. Tell us a little bit about this cache and why you put it together.
Yeah, well, look, you know, you may remember about a year ago I called in to explain I'd just been to one in New Orleans. And the one in New Orleans was on the top of a 30-story building, and it had 500-and-something favourite points, which I thought was pretty good. I thought, what a pity I'm not an engineer and can do that myself. And I thought, well, hang on, I've got quite a large building here. There's a bell tower on the top. Heavy metal, I've heard it described as that before. It's certainly the loudest music you hear. And moved a permitted cache from downstairs to upstairs.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, obviously, people have to get in touch with you before they can get in to log the cache?
Yeah, absolutely. The Bell Tower is open during ringing times, which is around about 4:30 on a Sunday. But other than that, I'm very happy to meet people and take them up for a special look around.
Now, we were hoping to catch up with you at the Mega, and we may or may not. Obviously, you've got something bigger happening tomorrow. Tell us briefly what's happening.
Yeah, well, despite my non-refundable accommodation, I've got twins arriving tomorrow, so I think I'm going to miss at least the first day of the Mega. But the other two children, the 6 and the 4-year-old baby organists, grown up a bit, so I'll probably bring them down on the Sunday and we'll spend a day down there just to say hi.
Well, I think you can be excused. It's a much bigger event than a Mega, the arrival of new children. Well, congratulations. Yeah. And thank you once again for showing me up at this cache. And hopefully we'll hear more from you, not only this weekend, but in future podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
So thanks once again to Martin, the organist, for showing me that cache, Heavy Metal. If you're ever in Timaru, whether you're staying or passing through, make sure you check out that cache. It's well worth the experience. So I'm sitting at a lookout at the moment, looking over a bay next to the port here in Timaru, and just found a sneaky little small cache, or it might even be a micro. Fairly rare for me to find those these days. Also, just finished up on an earth cache, fairly simple one that's nearby as well, that Martin has set up here in Timaru. And it's a nice little location, certainly a big sandy beach here, not the white glistening sand that you would see in Australia, but it's more of a greeny colour. I think it might be from some of the greenstone or some of the rock that's from the mountains. And speaking of the mountains, I'm looking into the distance and I can see snow-covered mountains up there. Certainly something that you don't see too often in Australia, and you certainly don't see it from the coast, that's for sure. So Timaru, as Martin said, not a huge number of caches here, but certainly we'll do some this afternoon, and maybe after dinner we'll go for a little bit of a wander before having a good night's sleep, which is well deserved after my shortened one last night. Changing time zones and arriving at early hours doesn't do good for the body clock, but certainly we'll rest up. One funny story on the way down was that I stopped by for a cache just north of Ashburton, and as I got out of the car and started walking towards GZ, there was a whole herd of cattle, of cows, coming my way. It turned out that some of them, a small renegade group, had decided not to head towards the milking sheds and instead to go down a different road, right near the highway, in fact. And so I ended up helping the farmer herd his cattle back, herd his cows back in the direction that they should be going, which was a good thing anyway, because they were all around GZ, so there was no hope I was going to be able to get to that cache until those cows moved on. I'll chuck a photo up on my Flickr set, and you can I'll give you a link to that in the show notes. You can check that out, geotalkpodcast.com. So tomorrow, heading down to Dunedin on Friday, we're going to drop into another GeoTalk listener and catch up with them and say hello. So look forward to it.
Well, welcome to day 2 on the tour down to the Mega event. And you can probably hear in the background there's a little bit of rain. In fact, quite a lot of rain starting to fall on the car. Heading into quite a bit of a dense storm. Well, not storm, but quite a dense patch of rain. The weather in New Zealand over the last 2 days has been quite patchy, to say the least. I mean, one minute you're in the sunshine and it's quite warm, and then the next you've got a howling cold wind blowing off the mountains and it's quite cold. Reminds me a lot of Victoria, to be honest. So, picked up quite a number of caches along the way this morning, and part of it was tag-teaming with two caches from Australia, Marcus Vitruvius and Rooster Man, who were travelling together in a car. I noticed that their logs had appeared in caches yesterday, and I seemed to be tailing them. And then this morning I saw one or two and then seemed to be ahead of them. So I figured that they probably were staying in Timaru, which when I caught up with them turned out to be the case. So obviously both had similar lines of thinking. Anyway, I've left them behind now in Palmerston. I'm heading off to a virtual, one of the rarer type of caches that still exist. But while I do that, negotiating these turns in the rain, I might tell you a little tale of how I fought the law and the law won. It hasn't been a good 24 hours for the spin doctor in New Zealand. Yesterday, I went to find an earth cache in the suburbs of Christchurch, and I found it fairly quickly, but in my haste, I parked on the right-hand side of the road, and that's a bit of a no-no, because in Australia and New Zealand, if you pull over to the right-hand side and park, you can get done for parking facing the wrong way. I've never actually known anyone to be done for it, but now I do. And I only left the car for about 2 minutes, and I in fact, it may even have been 90 seconds, and walked up half a block to where the earth cache was, and then came back, and I noticed someone walking away, and then I looked at the windscreen, and there was the ticket sitting there. And then this afternoon, after I had a bite of lunch in Palmerston, I left town, started going up a hill, looked at the GPS, it said speed limit 70 k's an hour, so I got up to about 64, and red and blue lights started flashing in front of me, turned around, and apparently I was in a 50 k zone, not a 70 k zone. So there's a lesson there in not trusting your GPS for how fast you're meant to be going. Just keep your eyes on the road signs. I must admit I wasn't paying close enough attention. Well, I should be paying a bit more attention now as the rain is starting to turn into hail as I make my way to this virtual. We'll speak to you again a little bit later. Well, welcome back. I'm sitting on the top of Flagstaff Hill, which is just outside of Dunedin. I'm doing this by video, so you can check this out on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/geotalk, because I left the audio recorder back in the car. It took me about an hour to hike up to the top here, but I have it. I've forgotten the code for it. I think it's GCB0. And yeah, this is one of the five that I've been after. I found two last night in the city, so it only leaves me with two more. One on Mount Cargill, which is on the other side of the city, and I can actually drive up to it. And the other one's about half an hour drive out of town at a salt lake, New Zealand's only salt lake. So thumbs up, another plastic bucket, one of the vintage year 2000 caches. And I can tell you, it's freezing up here. The sun is warming things up, but there's still ice and snow on the top from all the cold, bad weather last night. But anyway, hope you enjoy. You can check out the scenery here. It gives you a pretty good view. There's a better view over at Flagstaff Hill, but yeah, you can see a bit of Dunedin and a bit of Mosgiel, which is a town nearby. Thoroughly recommend it. If you're ever in Dunedin, come and do this cache, Flagstaff, GCB0. So we're here at the New Zealand mega event on day two. It's cleared up. It's not raining like or snowing like it was yesterday. And I've bumped into one of the founders of Groundspeak, Brian. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's my pleasure to be part of the podcast.
Now, welcome to New Zealand. This is your first trip down under?
It is my first trip down here. And I've been here for about a week with my wife and kids. And we've been touring the North Island. And it is just spectacular.
Yeah, it's beautiful country. Are you going to cross the ditch to Australia this time around, or are you going to save it for another trip?
Save it for another trip. You know, this is a 20-day trip for us, and so that's a lot of time to be away from the rest of the lackeys at Groundspeak HQ. And so as much as I love traveling and spending time with my wife and kids, they got to get back to school, and I got to get back to doing the work that feels more like work.
Yeah. Now, you've been to a number of mega events over in the US and elsewhere. How does this feel compared to the other ones?
I think it feels more similar than dissimilar to mega events around the world. I think the commonalities between mega events on a global scale are pretty significant. And I guess I would start by saying that geocachers are really alike. It's all good people. They're all welcoming, and everybody's generally happy to be talking to each other and talking about geocaching. And it's just being around good people. It's a great excuse to come in and enjoy time and meet people from different countries. And I guess when you compare it to other geocaching events, it's really so similar. It's almost amazing. Sometimes there's a little bit of a language change, but by and large, it's very similar.
When you started this with Elias and with Jeremy 12 years ago, did you ever imagine it'd be like this? Did you imagine you'd be in New Zealand, for example?
I had no idea. It's funny, when we were driving to the event this morning, Heidi and I were talking, and she was taking something out of the bucket that we picked up at registration last night, and it was, you know, just like a protective glove. And I said, if somebody had told you 10 years ago that you would be in New Zealand opening a bucket and taking out a glove to go find some box in the woods, would you have ever believed it? And she said, absolutely not. And really, when we first started this, I still remember the conversation I had with Jeremy when he was talking to me about the game and getting involved, and he was saying, hey, it's just a hobby. There's no money in it, but hey, you like the outdoors and you're a gadget person, and maybe let's just get involved and see if we can support this. And it was really just something that was so small, and it was just this small little hobby. And at the time, I don't think anybody really expected that we would be traveling around the world, meeting people who share a common bond around this outdoor game. And it's been spectacular. We're honored to be a part of it.
Was there any point in the 12-year history that you thought this is a success? This, we've really done something?
I met a woman today who is from Christchurch, and she said to me that just following the earthquakes, they were really having a hard time, and her and her husband went out and they spent the next long time finding geocaches out of town, and it really helped to keep them grounded. And she was getting choked up when she was telling me this, and she's like, you know, thank you so much for doing this, and we're just lucky to be a part of it. I mean, it's what an honor it is to to be able to affect the lives of people in a positive way as our job. And so that's success. And so even if you look back 10 years ago and 11 years, 12 years, even the first person that you affect and the fifth person you affect, and look at this community of people who have come together around this game, and they're sharing experiences with one another and conversations and enjoying themselves and welcoming each other into their homes around the world just because they're geocachers. That's a tremendous amount of success. And so, you know, I first realized it was success early on, and it continues every single day.
And looking forward into the future, where do you see geocaching heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
Looking forward into the future, I think the best way to describe it is we have it written on the wall of the lobby of Groundspeak headquarters, and it's our mission. And our mission is to inspire outdoor play using location-based technology. And so our goal is to get people outside having fun. And right now, there's a lot of different ways to do that. We've got things like physical caches and multi-stage caches and where I goes and waymarks and challenges and all those kind of things. But with the growth and proliferation of technology and the platforms becoming more powerful and the tools that people have becoming more powerful and more functional, it gives us the opportunity to deliver new experiences and new adventures to people all over the world. And so for Groundspeak, we consider ourselves kind of a tool company. And so what we do is there's this global community of creative people, and they're looking to share their creativity, share their special places and their adventures and create experiences for other people. And then there's this other community of people who want to experience things. They go to a new city or they walk out their front door and they say, what can I do for fun today? And our job is to create the tools that make it easy for the creative people to create and share those interesting adventures and experiences with the people that are looking for interesting adventures and experiences. And so that's a wide open playing field. There's so many things that can be done in the future. And if you look at some of the things that we've done already with Where I Go and even with what the community has done with some of these story-based creative caches and adventures or complex multi-stage puzzles, or there's just so much potential. And when you consider that the only limits are really limits of creativity, you can look at it and you can say there really aren't any limits. And so how do we keep up with the creativity of the community and build the kind of tools that make it easy for them to create the kind of engaging experiences that they want to create, and then make those experiences accessible to the people who are looking for them?
So in the future, we'll be looking at different games, not just more of the same of geocaching, but more things like you say with the waymarking and the where I go and those sorts of things, more different experiences, different tools for the people to use.
Yes, I think that expanding the concept of what geocaching is part of what we're trying to do. So traditionally, the first geocache was a box in the woods with coordinates, and they've come so far since then. In the future, I think that we can take multimedia and take the power of the devices that people have in their pockets now and create these engaging tours and adventures.
Just very quickly on waymarking and where I go, they came out a few years ago. Some of the community would say that there hasn't been much progress. Is Groundspeak still committed to those platforms, and will we see some changes in the future?
I think you'll absolutely see some changes in the future. We're actively thinking about those things, and I think that to those who would say that we haven't been focused on it, that is precisely correct. I mean, for the most part, we've been focused on geocaching, and that's because we've had to be focused on geocaching. There's so many people that are playing. There's so many people that have been getting involved that just scaling the platform and scaling the technology has required almost all of our resources. And so there's a number of projects that we've started that there's many people at Groundspeak who would say, man, I wish we had more time and more resources to focus on those things. And the goal is to really get there and to focus on those things. And for right now, we're focused on shoring up geocaching and really trying to make that platform better and easier to use and make it easier for volunteers to contribute in the way that they contribute. There's a whole lot of potential. And at the same time, we have 75 full-time employees at Groundspeak. There's 250 volunteer reviewers, there's forum moderators, there's essentially ambassadors around the world who are looking to contribute to geocaching. Personally, having done this for 12 years, and I know Jeremy would say the same thing, I've never been more excited about this. And I think that there's some really exciting things to come, and looking forward to sharing it with everybody.
Excellent. Well, look, thanks very much for your time, Brian. Hopefully next time we meet, it'll either be over in Seattle or maybe we'll see you back down under in Australia.
That sounds great. I can't wait to get over to Australia. And certainly any of you out there who are listening to this podcast, please come visit us at Groundspeak HQ in Seattle. We'd love to see you out there. It's GCK25B, and I hope to see you there sometime soon. Cheers.
It's late on Sunday afternoon and I'm standing on top of Mount Cargill, and I'm happy to say mission accomplished. I've found the fifth and final cache that was on my hit list of caches from the year 2000 that were hidden in Dunedin area, and that gives me 7 out of 7 for New Zealand. So yay to me, I've now got all 7 geocaches hidden in year 2000 that still exist in New Zealand, and all 7 in Australia. So I'm pretty chuffed about that. I have a feeling I might have ticked off one of the boxes on the month cache hid, because I know I've got 3 blanks in year 2000. So maybe when I get back to my GSAC tonight, I'll have a look to see if I've accomplished that. It's been a great day, a very tiring day, because the first cache that I needed to do was at a salt lake, Sawyer Salt Lake, which is about 50 kilometres west of the mega event. And I ended up doing quite a bit of a loop drive and picked up quite a lot of caches along the way. And I finished up here at Mount Cargill, so which is, I think it's around about 3:30 or 4 o'clock. So I've got about another hour up my sleeve. I've got a few earth caches that I want to do now down the bottom of the hill. Look, it's been great fun doing it. We'll head back to the mega event for all the closing events before the final morning tomorrow morning. But I hope you've enjoyed some of the sights and sounds, well, the sounds anyway, of the New Zealand's first mega event. So one geocacher I bumped into is Nick, also known as Riser 5, from the north end of New Zealand. The reason why we changed you is you've got an unusual travel bug. Tell us about it.
Well, I love geocaching so much, and I love Star Wars. I thought, hell, I'll get myself a trackable tattoo.
It's quite a large tattoo. How long did it take to get done?
It took 2 hours to get done, and I had a trackable patch that I used for the code. I designed the rest myself. I chucked a mythosaur skull in the middle and put the geocache logo around the outside, but made it look more like a target, and got it all done.
What's the response from geocaches when they see it?
They think I'm insane.
And what about your family?
They think I'm insane as well, but I love it. It's awesome, so I thought, hell, why not make show a commitment?
Right. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
I'm Mountain Lioness, and I'm from Adelaide, Australia.
And have you found the mega event?
Cold, wet, squidgy, awesome.
So good overall, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, you've been to the other two in Australia. How does this one compare?
The food's better. It's a bit more cozy, much more social. Very much more enjoyable than the other two, I'd say.
Mountain Biker Oz from Canberra.
How have you found the mega event?
Very good. Nice scenery, great place.
You're a veteran now of three Australasian mega events. How does this one sit?
Completely different, but very good.
It's P Press from Port Macquarie.
And how have you found the mega event?
We found it by driving a long way from Christchurch.
And your experience?
Well, we've had some lovely bracing weather and beautiful scenery around Dunedin. And some lovely caches too, some very extreme ones and some very pretty ones too.
And you got a highlight?
Granddad's Army was our highlight. We did it with Judder, and we were in the wrong spot for a long time because we were above a tunnel that we had to work out how to get into.
Who we got here?
I got Judder from Sydney.
Okay, and have you found your experience at the mega event? What have you enjoyed? What have been the highlights for you?
The highlights, going out and doing some of the new caches and seeing some of the countryside.
First time to New Zealand?
First time to New Zealand, yeah. It was great.
Claire, cacher name is Mullen, and I'm from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Come a long way to the mega event?
Sure did. 42 hours on the plane.
And it's your first time to New Zealand?
It is. Beautiful country.
Have you enjoyed the mega event?
It's been great. If it weren't for the rain, a little more sunshine would have been nice.
Have you done other mega events in North America?
I have. This is my fourth.
Okay. And how does this compare?
Some things were maybe a little bit lacking, but overall, I would say it's been absolutely great. It's the activities and the caches that are out there, and the organization has been great.
Hi, I'm Gary Turner. I'm Kiwi legend from Christchurch.
Yeah, you are a bit of a legend in the caching world because you've been around for quite a while, haven't you?
Oh, but not as long as Gavin Red Iguana. I was very poignantly told.
I should say, first of all, you helped me with my very first cache find on this particular trip, webcam cache. Thanks for that. Mega event. Have you been to others in the past?
No, not at all. So this is my first one. I'm hoping actually got a bit of a sales pitch to come to the next Aussie one, so that should be pretty cool.
What's been your highlight, your favourite experience out of this weekend?
Just catching up with all the old friends, meeting some new ones, just going out and doing a bit of spontaneous caching, and really enjoyed doing the walk around the hills with Kiwi Chris.
Just so you know, we won't go into too much detail about who had what role, but obviously Peter here is the chairperson of the New Zealand Recreational GPS Society, or president. I'm the chair of the New Zealand Mega Organising Committee and was president when I was stupid enough to suggest we run this thing. Gavin is our treasurer and so has been running around trying to spend more money than we're bringing in.
It nearly worked!
Jared's our secretary and is trying to make sure that none of those checks get posted out. And the other guys have done a fantastic job with things like accommodation, things like organising the venue. Of course, all the Dunedin-based ones heavily involved in organising the venue,
organising all the various activities, because they were generally organised by local volunteers, not by us as an organising committee. And organising, and obviously lots of other volunteers. We reckon about 10% of the attendees here are volunteers who contributed in some way to the running of the Mega. A lot of them have yellow T-shirts, but not all of them. So thank you, everyone.
Kiwi Nomad from Ashburton.
Okay, in the South Island?
In the South Island, New Zealand.
So you've come a long way for the event.
Oh, horrendously long way. I had to get special permission from the husband to be away for this long, Keishi.
Is this your first mega event, or have you been to others?
It's my first mega event.
What's been the highlight for you?
Going out caching with others, it's just been a lot of fun. Caching at night time and laughing at other people slipping over in the mud.
Karma reprint from Christchurch.
Okay. And is this your first mega event?
Oh yeah, yep, definitely.
What's been the highlight?
Seeing so many happy people. So much to do around Dunedin, it's been great.
Tilby from Canberra.
Is it your first mega event, or have you done others in the past?
No, I've done the other two in Australia. They're the only other ones, though.
How does this compare?
It's quite good. I think they've taken some of the good ideas from the Australian megas and in some respects improved. They've sort of simplified it a little bit, and apart from the rain, it's been great.
What's been the highlight?
I did a walk yesterday with Kiwi Chris, and whilst I injured myself on the walk, it was absolutely fantastic. Beautiful scenery, absolutely stunning views, and really, really fun.
La Vista from Christchurch.
Is your first mega event?
Yes, it is. It's great to be here.
What's been the highlight for you?
Oh, just meeting all the other geocaches and getting some of the puzzle caches out of the way, and maybe a few hints as well.
very quickly, we've got one of the Australian reviewers. I'm not sure who we're speaking to. We're speaking to the ump or Papa Bear left?
At this time of the morning, you're lucky to be getting an intelligible answer from anybody.
You obviously enjoyed it. What's been the highlight for you?
Yeah, again, it was catching up with a lot of old friends, because we used to live in New Zealand years ago, and so it was nice to see some familiar faces and names. It's kind of nice to see that all these people who've got such wildly different careers and interests and everything else, but they've all got one common area of interest that they can talk about. And I think if probably a good lesson, there's probably, if you've got a large group of people together, you could find some common factor amongst almost any large group,
yeah,
and pull them together. And if it can happen here, it should be able to happen in a lot of other areas in life.
Smeg Eds from Ballarat in Australia.
Okay. This is your first mega event, or have you been to the ones in Australia?
No, I've been to both in Australia, so third.
So how does this event compare to the other two?
Colder. No, they're much the same.
What's been a highlight for you?
Highlight? The scenery, just getting here. That's been always the best. Something completely different.
Is this your first time to New Zealand?
Definitely first time overseas. So.
I see you're studying a map of the South Island. What are your plans for the rest of your time in New Zealand?
We're going to head back up the west coast. We've done the east coast coming down, so we're going back west coast.
To wind things up, we hope you guys have had a fantastic weekend. We've really enjoyed having you here and putting this on. We're sorry the weather hasn't been brilliant, but at least we got a good Saturday and most of Sunday squeaked through fine. I hope that as many of you as possible are staying on to cache in and around Dunedin or maybe further afield over the next few days. Go forth, plunder. I'm looking forward to seeing how many logs come in. Just out of interest, those caches that have already been logged online, we're up to about 4,000 within a 20-kilometre radius of Dunedin. So that's just the ones that have already been logged to date. I expect there are thousands more to come. It's clogging up my email. Please stop.
More.
No, we've really enjoyed having you here. We've really enjoyed putting this on. Please go forth, go well, and look, we hope we see you again sometime in the future. Cheers. We'll be right back.
we've managed to grab the man who's running around like a headless chook because it's the last few hours of the mega event. Gavin Red Iguana, thanks for joining us.
Good to talk to you again, Darren.
And I should say thanks very much to you, Wayne, and everyone else who's organised a fantastic mega event. Must be a great sense of achievement.
Oh, it has. It's been good. You know, it all started with the couple of Australian megas, the Oz megas that we went to over the past couple of years, and we got a lot of ideas from those. And so whilst it's been our first mega, it also hasn't been our first mega. I think we've learned a lot of lessons, got a lot of ideas from the Australian megas. So in some regards, it's a natural continuation of what's happened in Australia. But, you know, it's been fantastic to see so many people help, you know, looking at the number of volunteers that we had here, you know, almost 10% of the attendees were volunteers. You know, it was a massive team effort here to make it happen over the past 3 days, and indeed in the lead up to the mega as well.
What's been the highlight for you?
The highlight for me has been an organisational and management one. It's been how well it's come together. We've had few to no issues to deal with, so I think from our perspective, you know, I haven't personally had much of a chance to get out and do many caches, so it's really been how well everyone worked in organising the event, getting everything done and having no major issues other than a little bit of rain and mud, as some people may know about. But now, it was one of the decisions we made when we selected this site. We thought it had a lot more character than the other options, and we always knew that rain and a bit of mud might be one of the risks of this site. But, you know, all up, it's been really good. One of the personal highlights for me was when we found we'd actually obtained more sponsorship than we'd originally budgeted for. And so Thursday afternoon we were wondering, oh, how can we make things a little bit more interesting for attendees, mega attendees over the weekend? And so we purchased $2,500 worth of petrol vouchers and distributed them in geocaches on the Sunday for all the attendees to find and, you know, have a little bit of fun finding a petrol voucher and a cache and contributing to some of the cache costs. And so we think that went down really well. And I got a big buzz yesterday having 2 or 3 hours off to actually go and place these in caches for caches to find over the next couple of days. So
fantastic. You look pretty happy. Looks like you'd be ready to do it all again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we already had a session here to discuss how we might do New Zealand's next mega. The next mega probably won't be a multi-day mega like this. It'll probably be a one-day one. And then after that one, we'll do another multi-day event. You know, we're already tentatively talking about Rotorua as a possible North Island destination for a multiple-day mega event. And there's likely that we will try and organise a one-day mega before that in Auckland.
And the South Australian crew, there have been a few people here watching, obviously taking notes for theirs. Bits of advice or one bit of advice you'd like to give them?
I think, as I said before, it really comes back to getting a good, small, strong leadership team with good management skills that is able to motivate a strong and large group of local volunteers. You know, this event really came about because of the strength of the local volunteers. We had 4 or 5 local committee members that were really able to step up and lead locally, and they were able to motivate the local cacheurs to come out, and whether it was putting out more caches, whether it was designing a competition or designing one of the day hikes, you know, there's a lot of work behind every one of those little projects, and the success of the event was getting that strong local buy-in for it. That's been the main reason for the success of this mega, I believe.
Well, once again, on behalf of everyone who attended and all the listeners, thank you to yourself, to Wayne and all the crew, and hopefully we'll see you back here in New Zealand again in not too distant future.
Absolutely, and you'll probably see me again in Australia in the not too distant future as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darren.
As you can hear, there's the sounds of sheep. So quintessential to New Zealand. We'll leave any jokes or jibes aside. But I'm standing on the up on a a ridge. I've forgotten what the name of the hill is. I'll have to look it up a little bit later. This is my final day in New Zealand, day six. And I'm going to fit in a few hours of caching and sightseeing before I go. This is actually about my third time to Christchurch, but it's my first since the terrible earthquake that occurred here. And last night, well, this morning, I should say, I've noticed quite a bit of difference. There are a noticeable number of buildings that have been pulled down, in the process of being pulled down. In fact, where I'm staying at the YMCA across the road, the beautiful bluestone building that housed Ernest Rutherford's laboratory is unfortunately all barricaded off, which is a real pity, being a person with a physics background. It's kind of, I wouldn't say a hero, but someone I certainly admire. It's a pity you can't get into his old lab. So I've just completed a Christchurch's oldest geocache, which is, I think it's called Cabbage Tree Hill. If you ever come to New Zealand, you'll get to know what a cabbage tree is, along with flax and a few other, I think it's called score or something like that. Anyway, there's lots of, they might not have bitey animals or insects or snakes, but certainly their plant life can leave you with a few scratches here and there. Anyway, I'll do a few more caches this morning before we wind up and call it a day for this New Zealand trip. Get out of this wind. Well, all good things must come to an end, and so too does our adventure to New Zealand. Our second one, actually. We were here 12 months ago. But what a fun 6 days it's been. Today, I finished up with three caches, fairly old caches, and it was great to bag those. But overall, this trip has been great for me personally. I mean, I was looking to get some of the oldest caches in New Zealand, and I achieved that. I got six of them. Also picked up a number of earth caches and virtuals, particularly virtuals, they're very rare, and a webcam cache, of course, very rare, since they've been grandfathered many years ago. And it's great also to see the number of earth caches down in Dunedin. If you like your geology, certainly head down to there, or even just check out the pages. I'll give you some. I'll give you a link in the show notes to those, because there's some really clever ideas on some earth caches that you might be able to replicate in your area. The mega event itself, I think one thing that really highlighted it, and you would have heard it in the interview with Red Iguana, it was that friendliness, the sense of community. There was a real togetherness with it. And not to say that the other two mega events didn't have any friendship or or kumbaya type elements to it, but certainly this one was a little more intimate, and you really got to meet up with more people than with the other two over in Australia. And also the venue. The venue, despite all the rain, despite all the mud and some of the snow that fell on us, it certainly was a beautiful venue. And I suppose some people might complain about the hill that was in the middle of it too. But hats off to the organising committee. They really did a great job, and well done to them all. Just a few final notes before I finish up and get on the plane to head back to Australia. There is a trail here near Christchurch called the Thompson Trail. It heads over to, I think, a township called Geraldine. There's about 78, 79 caches. If you're looking to do a power trail while you're here in the South Island, head out that way. I sort of cut in towards the end of it and tried to do the last dozen, but unfortunately a huge rainstorm fell on top of me as I got to about the sixth one. But anyway, I got a bit of a taste of what it's like power trailing. Certainly gets the adrenaline pumping. Another thing is, one thing I'll point out is the drive yesterday from Dunedin to Christchurch. It's a little over 400 kilometres, and while in Australia we might say, well, that's a pretty easy 4.5-5 hour drive, in New Zealand the drives are a lot longer. They take a lot longer, and you probably only average about 70 kilometres an hour, so you really need to factor that in. And when you throw in caching into it, it took me 8 hours to cover that distance yesterday, so it certainly does add up. And the last thing, as Wayne said last episode, they might not have spiders and they might not have bitey animals, but the one thing that can kill you here is the weather. And certainly I've experienced some fairly
harsh weather here. It can be bright and sunny 1 minute, and then it can be teeming down with rain and a real cold southerly blasting at you. So if you come here caching, make sure you take layers. Take plenty of layers with you, 3 or 4 to go out caching. Keep them in the bag just in case the weather changes. Well, that's all for this episode of Geo Talk. I hope it's encouraged you, if you didn't get across this mega event, to consider coming over to New Zealand for a geocaching adventure, whether you do it at the next mega event, possibly in 2 years' time, or before then. Certainly check it out. It's a great place to go caching. And with that, I better get on board the plane. Until next time, safe geocaching.